Amen. How many of you have ever had a problem in your life? Ever had a problem in your life? I'm waiting. Horn, raise your hand, son. Have ever? How many of you are a problem? No, I don't. Yeah, I just want to get a little participation there. How many of you, in the midst of your problem, came to the conclusion that God either didn't care or couldn't help? Now, I know we're Christians, we're very pious, but there are times when the devil comes to you and tempts you and your flesh begins to respond, and I've been there, where I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, or I didn't pray because I thought, you know, this is too small. I mean, it's too small. Surely a God who is running the universe, 7 billion people in the world, surely this is too small. Surely God doesn't care about that. Or there are times that you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing seems to happen. And we conclude that God either doesn't care or God can't do anything about it. And now when you come to that conclusion, you're right where the devil wants you. Because you are in line for discouragement and despondency and depression and all those D's. So this morning, we're going to look at some short stories in the Word of God in 2 Kings that help us to understand two great truths. Number one, God cares. Number two, God can. Okay? So if you're going to go to sleep, go ahead. You've got the whole outline right now. God cares, God can. All right? And we're going to try to prove that to you from Scripture. We're looking at four short stories. One of them I've already taught on. Two of them I just kind of mentioned and skipped over them. And the fourth one is new, okay? So, real quickly, you're in 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to talk about the problems, first of all. The problems, if you're taking notes, and there are three. They all start with an F, okay? That's that grade you got when you're in school all the time. All right, the problems. Number one, we find it in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, because I have already taught on this one. But here's a financial need. Here is a lady who is a widow. Her husband has died. She has two sons. She can't pay her bills. The people she owes money to say, give us your sons to pay your debts. Now, she's a widow. She was not a religious leader. She was not a political leader. If you looked at the who's who in that village, she probably would not have been listed. She's just a widow. And she's got a great financial need. If she doesn't meet that need, she's going to lose her two sons. Now, the question I have for you this morning is, does God care about that widow? Does God care about that need, and can God help her? The second story, flip over to verse 38 of the same chapter. And I, if you have an old Schofield reference Bible, I like the heading there. Elisha heals. Anybody have this? What's the next word? Noxious. Isn't that nice? The noxious pottage. Anybody ever had any noxious pottage before? Okay. Let's read it. And Elisha came to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. So here we are, we're in the northern part of Israel. This is the northern tribe. They are a people who are not worshiping God. The king is not worshiping God. Because of that, God has sent a famine, which affected the righteous and the unrighteous. And so these guys come to Elisha and they say, hey, we got all these boys here at the School of the Prophets, and they don't have any need. And Elisha comes up with a great, great idea. Let's make some soup. My mom always said the great thing about soup is, if more people show up, you just add water and you got enough, you know, it's okay. So he's going to make some soup. So he gets the big pot, builds a fire underneath it. and they go out looking for food, and they bring all this food in, and they throw it in the pot, and they cook it up. All right, so let's look in verse 39. And one went out unto the field to gather herbs. And we're going to find out probably the wrong guy. And he found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full. And he was so excited that he had found all these great gourds. And he brings them in and they shred them into the pot of the pottage, for they knew them not. Big mistake. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating out of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. Okay. Just a great passage of Scripture, don't you think? Now, you get the whole scene here. Now, it's not that the food just tasted bad. Now, it may be that was the problem. They said, hey, the way this tastes, somebody put something in that they shouldn't have put in there. This is bad stuff. But I've had that situation. Growing up, there were certain foods I just would not eat. Well, did not want to eat. Squash. Now, I know many of you love squash. Now, if you take it and you grind it up, you make bread out of it, I'm okay. You know, you make zucchini bread, I'm okay. But just eating in a zucchini, I mean, my mom made me eat that stuff. And it was a kind of, you know, you get where if you try to eat it, you just gag. It's slimy. That is a great, yeah. Now, I know some of you eat everything, but I remember many times. Everybody's gone from the table, and there I am, trying to choke down this squash or hide it or get rid of it somehow. But that wasn't the worst. We lived in a farming community, had dairymen, had men who raised cows, and they would kill a cow, and they'd give us half a cow. They always gave us the half that had the liver in it. I'm still a little bitter about that. There is no way to hide the taste of liver. You know, there isn't. It's just, bleh. How many of you like liver? I'll pray for you. Let's have a word of prayer. Sick people. and you know, but this wasn't what this was. You know, there were times that I would have said, Mom, there is death in the pot. I mean, if I eat that stuff, it's going to kill me. You know? This was a little different situation. This really would. It was, I don't know if it's like a poisonous mushroom or what it was, but they threw it in there and the people started eating it, and what a response. I mean, literally, if we eat this, it's going to kill us. So you got a bunch of sons of the prophets sitting around eating, and they say, you know what? This stuff's going to kill us if we eat it. Now the question is, does God care? And if he does care, can he do something about it? Okay? Next story is found in verse 42. I think probably the same group of men. They're having a rough time. And there came a man from Baal Shalasha and brought the man of God, Fred. That's Fred of the bread, the burst fruits. Okay. Shoo. The bread of the first fruits. What did I eat this morning? Yeah. Anyway, he brought 20 loaves of barley. Now, again, when we think of loaves, we think of these big, huge loaves. And you think, well, you know, there's 20 slices in those big loaves. You get it at Food City and, you know, 20, 100 guys. These are small loaves of bread. And brought some ears of corn and the husk thereof, and he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Now, the reason I know this is not enough food is because the way the servant responded. What? Should I set this before 100 men? What's he saying? Not enough here. Here we've got 100 prophets. Now, again, we're still in this famine. Things aren't going so well. And the first fruits, by the way, were supposed to go to Jerusalem. To the temple, but obviously being in the north, they were not allowed to travel there because of the battle between the south and the north. So they brought it to the prophets, the sons of the prophets. But there's not near enough food for all of them. And my question is, does God care? Did God care about these sons of the prophets who, first of all, had death in the pot? Now they've got bread, but there's not near enough. And they got these husks of corn, but there's not near enough. Does God care? And can God do something about it? Okay? Fourth story, chapter 6, verse 1. And if you think those were trivial, wait until you hear this one. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. All right, they had dormitories. This is the schools of the prophet. They got a place to live. They said, it's not big enough. We got too many guys, not enough place. What's the solution? Verse 2. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So this has God's approval. They're going to go build this dormitory. So we went with them, and when they came down to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. How many have an axe at home? So what? You lose an axe, what do? Go to Lowe's and you buy another one. Okay, right? Not true in this time. The iron axe head was a prized possession. The son of the prophet didn't have one. And he did what all good Baptists do. He went and borrowed one. My dad taught me well how to borrow. By the way, there is a principle of borrowing. When you borrow something, you always want to return it in better shape when you got it. That's my dad's philosophy anyway. So he borrows an axe head. He's got a problem. He can't return it. Because he's chopping down this tree or hewing this wood or whatever he's doing right there by the river. And the axe head flies off, goes out in the river. Now, let's be honest. That's kind of trivial, isn't it? I mean, if we're talking about the problems of life, you know, and you're putting in priority, dying, car accident, some terrible disease, losing your job, lost the axe head. You know, it wouldn't list very high. My question is, does God care? Now, you probably haven't lost an axe head. You probably lost the whole axe. It's out there in the woods somewhere. But all of us have things in our life that we are convinced, though they are a problem for us, they're not big enough to be a problem for God. And so we go through life trying to solve it, trying to fix it ourselves, worried about it, discouraged about it, depressed about it, but we think God doesn't care, or because we do pray and nothing happens, we assume God can't help us. Okay? So there's the four stories. By the way, it's interesting. All four of those stories have something in common besides loss. What people are involved in all four stories? Now, I didn't really push it on the first one, but that widow was married to one of the sons of the prophets. Every story, and this is why I'm using all four stories, because to me they're all the same context, though they're kind of spread out a little bit in Scripture. They all deal with the sons of the prophets. These are all people who have been trying to serve the Lord, have given themselves to serve the Lord, and they have a problem. You see, I think there are times, too, that we say, wait a minute, I'm serving the God. I shouldn't have any troubles. And we get out and serve the Lord, and something happens, and we make a commitment. Okay, I'm going to do this for God. And as soon as you do that, what happens? Everything falls apart. I was talking to my brother yesterday, bless his heart. We had a situation with my dad this week. My brother had a basketball practice. He left my dad by himself. My dad has one of those alarm things. Evidently, he pushed it. And so the EMS guys came, couldn't get in, broke a window in my brother's garage door. So that's one problem he's got to fix. Dad's doing fine. He's got a little touch of pneumonia, but he's okay. I don't know why he pushed the button. A little dementia. And then he told me, he said his freezer broke. Then his water softener is broken. And he just went down this litany of all these things. And my brother loves the Lord. reads the Bible every day, prays, tries to serve the Lord. That's not supposed to happen. I mean, when you're serving God, your car's supposed to run for like 400,000 miles and never have trouble, right? I mean, I tithe. I'm not supposed to have trouble. I'm trying to serve the Lord. What's this about? I mean, I took my car to get the tires balanced, rotated. And they told me that there was something wrong. The outer knuckle on something. I would give him a knuckle down. That's not supposed to happen. What is it, Todd? Tie rod, thank you. This is not my notes. If it's not my notes, I can't. What? It's only got 147,000 miles. What's the deal? Now, I know this is kind of silly, but this is where we find ourselves sometimes as believers. Wait a minute, Lord. I go to church. I tithe. I try to serve you. What's the deal? And then when it does happen, we may be tempted to say, God doesn't care. Or we may be tempted to say, it's so bad, God can't do anything about it. See, we've got the two extremes. One is too small, God doesn't care. Number two, it's too big, God can't do anything about it. So we've seen these four scenarios here, these four stories. Well, actually, so there's the problem. Secondly, I want you to see the pleas. P-L-E-A-S. It's interesting, in every story, they go to the same source for help. Who'd they go to? Elisha. Now, we don't have Elisha today, but Elisha was God's representative. When they went to Elisha, they were asking God for help. When the woman couldn't meet her financial needs, she went to Elisha and said, we're in trouble. We need your God's help. When they had the noxious pottage, I like that. What'd they do? They went to Elisha because that was the man of God. When they didn't have enough bread, they said, hey, Elisha, are you sure about this? Now that passage is not quite as clear as the other ones, but I mean, he's telling Elisha, it's not going to work, buddy. And then when he loses the axe head, who does he go to? He goes to Elisha. Now, folks, I want to remind you that God wants you to come to him. And I want to I just wrote down a bunch of verses. The first one is the verse you know. And boy, God has been ministering to my heart through this. Jeremiah 33, verse 2 and 3. Now, there's a reason I'm giving you verse 2. Listen to verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. What's he talking about? The Lord that formed what? Established what? What's he talking about? Everything. He said, God, I'm coming to you. God, the maker, the creator, and the sustainer of everything. And he says, call unto me, God says, and I will answer thee, and I like this, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isn't that amazing? God says, look, you've got a problem. He said, you come to me, the maker and controller of this universe, and he said, I'm going to do something that you can't even imagine. Matthew 7:7, you know, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. Listen, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You don't pray, what happens? Yeah, that discouragement, that despondency, the fainting. John 16:24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ephesians 6:18. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen to Philippians 4, 6. You know this one too. Be careful for nothing. But in everything. What does that include? Well, you guys are sharp. Everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What does that verse say? No matter how small, no matter how big, let God know about it. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him, first thing, pray. And then I love 1 Peter 5:7. Casting the really important things of your life upon Him. Right? Casting the things you think God can help you with on Him. Casting all your cares upon Him. Why? He cares. Nothing too small. Nothing too big. I think Matthew 10 helps with this. Matthew 10, 29, 31. The Lord's talking about the sparrows. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? What's He saying? They're not worth much. Now listen. Listen to this. These little birds, you see out there chirping around? It says in the Bible that God knows when one of them falls. Can you believe that? Have you had these blackbirds flying around your house lately? Have you not had those? I mean, just flocks of these things. I don't know if they're lost, if they're going south and they don't have GPS or what. Like, I don't know what the deal is. But they've been hanging out in our trees lately. And man, there's just thousands of them, it seems like. And they're just making all kinds of noise. And you just stop and think about it. That's one little tiny flock of billions of flocks. How many birds are there in the world? I have no idea. Lots and lots. God knows when one of them falls. Isn't that amazing? And then this is a little too personal. This is really why I shave my head. The hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows every hair in your head, and every hair has a number. And to be honest with you, I figure you guys have more problems than I do, so I don't have many, so it doesn't take much time for him to know that I only have, you know, like 742. That was this morning. Tomorrow will be 740, and it's, you know how that goes. Isn't that amazing? How important? I got a haircut now, I can't even pull any out of it. One little hair. How important is that? Ladies, most of you this morning, when you brush your hair, you probably fold out 10 or 15 or 20 of them. And God said, there goes 5,431. Isn't that amazing to think about? Now, is the Bible true or not? I mean, think about it, folks. God, I mean, how unimportant is that? You know, I think hair is very unimportant. Okay? Amen? Amen, yeah. It's not important at all. And yet God, there's 7 billion people in the world. I don't know how many hairs a typical person has. Bunches. God has them all numbered? Wow. Isn't that amazing? So finally, God's passion and power. God cares and God can. Let me remind you of the stories. The widow, remember the widow? Elisha said, what do you got? What you have? A little cruse of oil. He said, go to all the neighbors and borrow, beg, and steal as much as you can. Containers, drums, bowls, whatever you can find. And you fill your house full of them and shut the door. And she did that, and she took that cruse of oil, and she had a 5-gallon bucket, and she had a little cruse of oil, and she started pouring that into that 5-gallon bucket. And And she looked, and what in the world? That bucket's just getting, and pretty soon that 5-gallon bucket was full. And she had an old wash tub there. And she started dumping that oil in that wash tub, and it just kept coming and kept coming. And she went to the next one, the next one, the next one, and pretty soon she said, okay, boys, bring me the next one. They said, Mom, we're all out of containers, and the oil stopped. And God took care of that widow. She sold that oil, and she paid for every debt she had, had money to live on. See, God cared, and God could. What about the boys with the death in the pot? They cried out to Elisha, and Elisha took a little bit of meal and put it in there. Now, the meal's not going to take the poison out, okay? Maybe he was a chemist and it was a chemical reaction. No, it was a miracle of God. God healed that stuff. Because he cared about those guys and he had the power to do something about it. What about when they had the 20 loaves and the few ears of corn? They ate and they ate and they ate and they were all full. By the way, we have New Testament examples of that, don't we? Feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000. God cares, and God can. What about that celiac's head? So here the guy is, he's chopping away, and there's the Jordan River, and he takes a swing, and he misses it. Oh! Splash. So what? Who cares? And Elisha goes, and he gets a stick. Cuts him a stick. And he said, okay, buddy, where did it go? And he said, man, it was right over there. I saw the splash. And he takes that stick and he throws it out there by the axe head. And you know what the scripture says? Look in your Bible in verse 7. Or no, in verse 6. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. All of a sudden, that old axe head comes out of there and hooks onto that piece of wood, and they haul it in, and boy, isn't that amazing? God cared about a silly old axe head, and God had the power to take care of it. Wow. Now, what is your need today? Let me give you one final verse. This, when I was in Ohio with my dad, my wife and I were praying about some situation. We were both burdened. We were separated. And as I was reading scripture, God reminded me of this verse. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. This is really a benediction. And Paul says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And God began to work in my heart. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And I came home from that trip, and my wife has a little pegboard thing on the over the stove there, and she puts verses on there. Guess what verse was on there? Same verse. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. I want to remind you this morning, God cares. I look around this room and I see people. Some of you are going through great trials. And the devil wants to come to you and say, God doesn't care about you. If he did, he wouldn't put you through this. This wouldn't happen. He would solve it. Wrong. Lie. God cares. God cares. You say, but Gary, it's so small. God cares. And number two, God can. I hope you don't mind. Sarah Briggs was told this week she has acute leukemia. She's been going through a lot physically, just really struggling. And to be honest, I think to some degree she was kind of glad to know that they finally knew what was wrong. Then they could deal with it. So they go to Nashville. They drive all the way to Nashville, and the doctor says, "Yeah, I'm not so sure." Now, that sounds good, but then we don't know what's wrong, and what in the world? And she's been to doctor after doctor after doctor. And I want to remind you, God cares. And God can. He can. It's one thing to have trouble yourself. It's another thing when your kids have trouble. And you can't do a thing about it. And I encourage you, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Remind you from these four little stories that our God cares. And our God can. Lord, we thank You for who You are today. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And Lord, for those here today who are really struggling, God help them, I pray, to bring their burden to You and to receive help from heaven. God, there are circumstances that are here in this room that are humanly impossible. But oh, we thank You that with God, all things are possible. And may these folks find help from heaven. And may we hear of great answers to prayer in weeks to come. And we will glorify You and praise Your name for who You are and for what You have done. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.